from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome everyone to another episode of Lean Local. So we're that radio show that does what we say, and we really lean into what's local here in Greater Green Bay, Brown County. And as I mentioned pretty much at every show, is we're concerned about what's going on in the world and going on in Israel and Ukraine, and we're concerned about what's going on nationally and statewide. But we talk about the effect of local when we do Lean Local, and how things affect our day-to-day living, the commerce here, the security here. But this show is going to be a little bit different. I brought a friend of mine in that we're going to talk to. Tip O'Neill, who some of you listeners know, and those of you who are younger don't know, I was a Speaker of the House when Ronald Reagan was in office. Tip O'Neill was a big Democrat. And his really, with all the things he's done for the United States, the biggest tagline he's with is all politics is local. And yeah, here's a guy that really, you know, you're third in line for presidency. And he just talked about how all things are local. And I believe that. And we're going to talk today about some of the races because, it's pretty heated right now, right? I mean, you just finished the Republican convention in Milwaukee. And now we just completed the Democratic convention in Chicago. And there's a lot of energy out of both camps. And I didn't hear a lot of compromise, but we'll talk about that later in the show if we're ever going to get back to that. But even here in Wisconsin, I mean, the political landscape, it's dynamic. I mean, there's significant attention in the upcoming election in 2024. The state's been a battleground in recent years. I mean, I think 4 years ago, 11,000 votes separated the presidential candidates. And it's always been, I don't know, purple. We've gone back and forth. So it's really, we are what they call a swing state. And that's because nobody really knows. There's like five or six of us in the United States that are swing states. And, you know, Keish is in Wisconsin, you know, and these contests, the presidential is concerned, but the key issues we have here, you know, education, health care, and Democrats and Republicans are mobilizing their bases, especially in areas like Milwaukee, Madison, and the Fox Valley, which would include us. And, you know, the elections are going to be highly competitive. I mean, you look at what's going on, and we're going to talk about, you know, the Democrat incumbent, Tammy Baldwin, and then, of course, the Republicans are kind of gearing up so that they can take on the Democratic governor, you know, that whole checks and balances, which is designed to work, even though it doesn't always work. You know, voter turnout's going to be critical. Both parties, they're going to emphasize issues, reproductive rights, voting laws, public safety to rally support. And the swing state is going to draw national attention here in Wisconsin, as it should. So I brought in a friend of mine today, and I know that our last speakers have been pretty much local talent, right? Last week we had the Director of Health and Human Services on, and we've had some other political leaders that are more local, but Mark Becker, who I think you may know that name, a great guy. We have been friends for a long time, and he loves politics, was elected a few times, if I remember correctly. And why you never went to higher office, I don't know. I don't really want to talk about that today. We're going to talk about other people that have, but you love
there's
politics.
There's still time yet. I don't know.
Well, there's still, you know what? You know? True that.
There's still time.
There's still time.
Yeah.
I mean, people say that to me. Are you done? And I like, still got my yard signs.
There you go.
And I do.
That's awesome.
But
thanks
anyway,
for having me. That's
yeah,
cool.
That's going to be great.
And yeah, this is fun.
You know, I know you have a lot of interest, nothing more than your family, which is awesome. And I was at your wedding, which was what? You just had an anniversary, right?
Yeah, we did. It was 8 years.
8 years ago.
Yeah.
That was fun.
That was a blast.
That was a good time.
God. Thank you.
But and you
still have that clock.
Okay. That's what I gave you.
Oh, yeah.
And we have, you love cars.
Yeah.
But you love politics too, right?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to talk about.
Yeah,
today.
That's fine. That works for me.
So let's just start at the higher level, the 30,000 feet. I teach at NWTC. I think you know that. Mm-hmm. But I was telling the kids about the students, which you call them kids, students about, you know, at the 30,000 foot level. I said, you know, everybody says that because that's what planes fly at. So we're going to look at this. We teach business, but tonight's 30,000. We're going to drill down as the weeks come on. Mm-hmm. We're going to start high today. the partisanship? I mean, is it the worst or is it just us feeling that way? Because it is ugly. Man. I mean, there's neighbors. Yeah. I mean, you got to admit, there's neighbors. I got to tell you, I shouldn't even say this on the air. I haven't talked to my sister in a couple of years. And yeah. it's just...
You know, when I was chairman of the Republican Party, yeah. And when I really started getting into partisan politics, it was McCain and Obama. And there was a moment in the campaign, a very famous moment, where this woman said at a John McCain rally, and she said, yeah, you know, that man is a Muslim, and he's... And McCain took the microphone from her, and he's like, no. Hey, no.
Right.
Barack Obama is a family man. He is a good and a decent man who I respect a lot. We just disagree on some things. Mm-hmm. We've gone a long way from there.
It's like, you're right.
Yeah.
And
John McCain and Barack Obama were friends throughout Obama's presidency. And I think, you know, when gone are... McCain and Romney and some of the people that really see the 30,000 foot level, and they've been replaced with people that really only see in their own backyards of the partisanship. And it's, and on both sides, but, you know, Reid Ribble said that, you know, Democratic policies and Republican policies, they're different. He said, in my opinion, this is Reid talking. He said, my opinion, Democratic policies is a cancer that's going to kill you in a long time. But right now, Republicans and how they are, they're a heart attack, and we got to deal with that first.
Yeah. <You know? laughs> And that guy was in Congress. He was elected 3 terms.
Yeah.
He would have easily won the 4th one, and he threw the towel in.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't really agree with quitters.
I love Reid.
I know.
I love him to death.
Look, politics is not.
There was some other.
I know him. But, and he also moved to Tennessee.
Yeah. I don't blame him. That Tennessee is beautiful. and his kids are there.
I have a daughter who lives there. Yeah. And it's
pretty awesome.
And the taxes are they're much lower.
Yeah.
But anyway, he was telling me that. I'm like, okay, I want to hear that. you know, then our last congressman kind of threw the towel into a little bit. Different reasons, but still, yes. You know, I mean, that concerns me. And the other thing that concerns me, I want to talk about a little bit later in the show, is all these uncontested races, that concerns me
sucks.
As much as people going there and then throwing it in the towel.
Yeah.
So anyway, but here we are, you know, this increasing political polarization, mm-hmm. right? You know, the division, Republicans and Democrats, and you work more with that. I would like to think I'm a nonpartisan guy. I always have been, never really joined a party, but.
Your coalition was wild, how you were able to pull together people from all ends of the spectrum. I've told people about what you were able to do and the talent and the ability that you had to just focus on. I'm not getting into that. I'm getting into what's right for the city.
Right.
You know, you had the liberal of the liberal and conservative mega donors and conservative regular Joes. And I mean, it was everybody.
Yeah.
Because it was like what I like to say, it's not about left versus right. It's about right versus wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
you did that very, very well.
Well, I think, I don't know. I don't think it was that hard. Everybody's like, oh, you can't do that anymore. It's like, yeah, you can.
Yeah,
you just
can.
Have to focus on issues and not politics. Yeah. And like, I mean, I go to schools. Even my kids would say, you know, what's the difference between Democrats and Republicans? And I'm like, really, we all want the same thing. We all want good schools, mm-hmm. safe neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. We all want economic opportunities here.
Yep.
You know, I mean, we all want to have a little swagger. You know, we all want to be very proud of our community or your business, your family, whatever it is. So, and I thought I could bring that. And you know, I'd go to people, knock on the doors and, you know, Democrat, Republican. I'm like, I'm nonpartisan. You know, I'm green. It's all about Green Bay
no.
to me.
Right.
I mean, you know,
right.
And then when people would ask issues, like that always made me mad when the council would introduce legislation about abortion rights or wars.
Stuff.
Right. And it's like, look, that's not our job. Let's just do our job. Our job is to economic development, which was my favorite thing to do.
You have no say over what happens. Yeah, you're right.
But they would pass these resolutions. We'd spend all night debating stuff. Like, I think it was the Afghanistan when we went in there. We spent all night debating that.
What the hell are we going to do?
At the Green Bay City Council. And I'm sure the chief of staff was just waiting for what we decided.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
On the phone watching the live stream. You know, we're going in, but god dang it, we got to see what Green Bay has to say about this.
And it's like, come on. And the thing is that what bothered me most about that, Mark, was not just we were wasting time, but there were other things that we should have been working on. And that's what bothered. Like when people don't do what they're doing, it's that makes me mad, but it's because they should be doing what they should be doing. And anyway, so there was a lot of that at the council. Yeah. But do you think, you know, you look at these divisions between Republicans and Democrats, you know, you see any signs of bipartisanship? I mean, you talked about Obama and McCain, but that's yesterday. But do you see any signs of cooperation on the horizon?
Oh, my God. Well, yeah. I mean, like, you know, you look at what we had Tammy Baldwin in, and, you know, she was able to work with Republicans to on the infrastructure bill, get a Buy American rider in there. And you look at and this is in my opinion, this is why I left the Republican Party to begin with. It was because of Trump. You look at what he did, the President Biden worked with, like, what was it, James Langford or whoever, like one of the most conservative senators in the United States to pass or to get the most robust border bill in the history of the country. And it was killed by Donald Trump. They came to an agreement on that. So, like, bipartisanship exists. It's just that guy sucks and he's got to go. And I do think that a lot of good things can happen with the bipartisanship in the future.
You really think one guy's that powerful?
Oh, yeah.
I never believe that. I just don't. I mean, I do Mussolini and some other guys, Hitler, but not. I just don't.
Hey,
I just don't believe here.
Well, if look at his own vice president, he's the American Hitler. He said it himself. J.D. Vance did.
All right, I don't want to talk. We're getting. I don't want to do that because there's stuff that was said about other things.
Yeah,
I want to talk about we're gonna get when we come back. I want to talk about the presidential election. You know, I want to talk about the key issues, and there's just got to be bigger than the person. Like what? Really, I want you to think about that. I want you to tell me what you think the key issues are. I mean, you study it at a higher level than I do. I know what the key issues are locally, or at least I know what they should be. But I want to talk about how these key issues are going to influence voter turnout and the candidates, because this voter apathy makes me nervous. This voter turnout. I mean, we bust our butt to get people to vote, and then we spend money, we knock on doors, we go to gazillion events and parades, and then less than 50% of the people vote. It's like, what?
Right.
So anyway, we'll come back. But I want to talk about it at the presidential level, how you see that coming together in the next couple months. All right. This is Lean Local, Jim Schmidt. Very special guest, Mark Becker. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Now, this is music. Have you seen Suits?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I love that show. Anyway, so I switched out my music to this. And thank you, Amanda, for taking care of me.
Nailed it.
I did. So we're with Mark Becker. The name of this show is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. And I normally talk about just really local issues within probably 60 miles of here. But we've got a huge campaign season coming up here, and I invited Mark Becker in, who has his own show.
Rational Revolution.
Yes, and which is, again, owned by Civic Media. I'll let you plug that at the end. Right now, it's my show.
That's right, yeah. Okay. I'll shut up about that.
But we're talking about the election coming up, the presidential election, and I'm just asking you, you know, you talked about their goal is to build their base.
Yeah.
To limit the undecided.
Yep.
Pick those people off and get them in their camp. What do you think the issues that are going to drive it this term, 2024?
You know, I think a lot of it is going to have to deal with just common decency. There's the issues of course, the border. And the economy and interest rates and all of that kind of stuff. So, there's that, and they're important, but I think, those issues would have been a lot more prevalent if it was a Biden versus Trump, but it's not. And I do think that, you know, there's some stark differences with age and vitality and common decency. I think the intangibles are going to be a lot more important.
The intangibles are going to outweigh the the practical, whether the unemployment, and I know that they just adjusted some numbers by a significant amount, but you don't think that's going to make headlines. It's going to be more the emotion of the difference of candidates between like the two vice presidents.
I think so.
Really?
Yeah, I do. Because, you know, like on one end, you have a guy that's kind of peddling we have someone at the top of the ticket of a major political party who said that America is a failed nation. He said that.
There's politics. So, I mean, do you really take that to heart? I mean, these guys they're all little nuts, right? I mean, I was one of them. People say stuff in the heat of battle. It's like, did you really mean that? It's like,
be one thing if it was saying something once. And it would be another thing if he said it twice or two times or three times. But, I mean, you look at, he led a group of thousands of people to the Capitol and tried to overthrow democracy. And I mean, the stuff that he did, even to this community, Lean Local, the stuff that his lies and his deception caused people to do some pretty crazy things, even in this community, about our election.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if it was, you know, I don't know.
So that I just wanted to remark, but that would override the practicality of unemployment or minimum wage or national security, really.
I think so. I hope not too. But the thing is, you know, I think that those issues are issues that can be worked on, you know, January or, you know, what it was, January 21st, the day after the election, because the Democrats and Republicans have already shown that we can come together on things. Look at the border deal that they got done. They did. They got it done, and it was one call by former President Trump that killed it. The biggest border deal in the history of the country. Republicans and Democrats, the most conservative Republicans in the Senate and Democrats, came together to get a deal done, and they did.
Well, okay. I want to move to a different thing. I just want to say that one could interpret that as that's real leadership. That you can, if he had a better plan, hold off on this, you guys. I got something better.
Yeah, but that's not what it was.
No,
it was killed because he didn't want to give Joe Biden something to run on, a victory to run on about the border. Okay. Now, if he said, don't do it because I have this thing, that's fine. He didn't do that.
Yeah.
He didn't do that.
I'll tell you what, I didn't like candidates that ran against that. This isn't going to work. Well, what is? They didn't have anything.
Correct. It's just sucks too. Yeah, that's ridiculous. I don't think Donald Trump would know real leadership if it grabbed him by the, you know.
I don't want to talk about him anymore.
No, it's fine.
Mark, it's just that then how come he's winning everything?
Well, you know what I mean? He's Jim Jones.
Man.
He was a real leader too.
Yeah, he was.
There's Adolf Hitler, you know?
Yeah.
Hey.
Okay.
Whatever.
All right.
So that's J.D. Vance. All right, anyway, sorry.
What do you think about Biden throwing in the towel or passing the torch, I should say?
I think that should have happened a long time ago.
All right, cool. I mean,
it was the right thing to do.
He's been in Green Bay. I mean, you could come to my house. I got a picture of me and Obama, like in a hug, and me and Trump. So
yeah. No, yeah, that's great.
And I just think Joe Biden, I've met him a number of times. I want to tell you that I would agree because he's a little bit of a grandpa thing. I mean, the governor of Minnesota is picking up that mantle. I mean, people really look to him, even though he's only 60, he looks a little bit older. Yeah. And I think people are looking up to him, coach, and all that other stuff. But Joe Biden, I'm glad he got out.
And I think,
just for the country. I'm going to vote for the guy.
I think that it was good. I think that he was more of a transitional candidate to begin with. I just wish that would have happened ahead of time. I don't think, you know, I think there's enough time to do the right thing here.
But, we got that going up at the top of the ticket, but I want to talk about Wisconsin.
Yeah.
We are a swing state.
Oh, yeah.
And we have, I would think right now, one of the more conservative senators and one of the more liberal senators, right? With Tammy Baldwin and, of course, Ron Johnson. Tammy Baldwin has an opponent. And how are you reading that as someone who studies the state more than I do?
I think that, so I got to know Eric Hovde when he was running against Tommy Thompson and that whole primary. And, you know, I don't know. It's Eric is, he is a wealthy guy. He, you know, I think he does some things that are really admirable with, you know, some of the homeless shelters that he builds and some of that kind of stuff. But I think he's the wrong candidate for the state.
Well, you tell me more than that. I mean, just why? I mean, because he builds homeless shelters?
No, I think.
I work at a homeless shelter.
No, and that's cool. That's a good thing. I think that Wisconsin's a blue collar state.
Yeah, it is.
You know, there's a reason why people like Dave Hansen did so well. There's a reason that people, you know, like Tammy Baldwin or I don't know. I mean, there's blue collar people up and down the state of Wisconsin that people really appreciate. I think Eric Hovde is not running for the right reasons. I think he's running for more personal reasons than aspirations to just do good. The way I had Tammy Baldwin on my show, I'm not plugging it, but I had her on the show. And she was wonderful.
She's so easy to talk to.
She is. I mean, she's brilliant. Yeah. And she cares.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that's really, really important that these candidates who have a little bit of an attitude, and I haven't really seen that. I really thought when I first talked to Trump, when he was here, remember when he was here at UWGB, we filmed that thing with, I had met him, talked to him about being mayor and, you know, how long he'd been mayor. And, pretty pleasant. I just want to say that he didn't have an attitude like you think he might. But all right, we're going to get back. I want to talk about campaign. I want to talk about social media, what you see that going. You're big into that. And a couple other things. And then I want to talk about the voter apathy. And I do want to talk about all these races that go uncontested. That is not good. So all right, we're going to be right back. We're here with Mark Becker. What's the name of your show again?
Rational Revolution.
I love it. All right. I knew that. All right, we'll be right back. Jim Schmidt, Lean Local. All right, welcome back. Lean Local.
The bangers on this show.
Oh, this is awesome song, music, right? I mean, it gets all our kids right going.
Yeah.
You included, which is nice. So we're here with Mark Becker, who is what would you call you? You've studied politics. You've been in. When did you first get elected?
When did I first get elected? God, was it 16, 14, something like that?
Okay, Rational Revolution is his radio show here, right here on WGBW. But we talked a little bit about the national politics and kind of what's going on. But let's talk about the state of Wisconsin. The state of Wisconsin went through and people read, I don't think they really understand what maps meant.
My God.
I remember, that was huge, right?
It was huge. I was in the Republican Party when the maps were passed the first time.
And that's an even years, right? So it's like 2010, 2000.
Every decade.
Every decade, that's what I meant.
Yeah, and I was, I think, vice chair or chairman at the time, and the state representative was my neighbor, lived across the street. Every time he'd get back from Madison, we would have a beer on the back of his truck and kind of talk about what's going on and all this. And so I was very in tune. But when the new maps were passed, we were having a beer, and he was like, this is, there'll never be a Democratic majority in 10 years. And I was like, wow, that's awesome. And then, you know, things happened with the Republican Party. And I was like, wow, that's actually pretty messed up. You know, because it didn't matter. It didn't matter necessarily what candidates you have. And I don't think we have the best and the brightest on one side. Because the districts were waveproof.
You know, and that bothered me as someone who I had seven people run against me at one time. And it just, you know, as long as you lived in the city. For 10 days, you could run. Yep. And when people would say, I would say, so-and-so, how's that going to go? Oh, it's safe district. Yeah. You know, there shouldn't be a safe district, right?
Yeah.
There should be like a competitive district all the time. So these new maps, just in a nutshell, what happened?
What happened was that's why, you know, the governor's election really, really mattered and state Supreme Court really mattered. Because the maps were unconstitutional. Wisconsin was known across the country as one of the worst gerrymandered states in the nation. And it was disgusting. It was really bad. You know, one of the guys down in Madison has a district that looks like Swiss cheese. So, I mean, it's stupid what we had. And I mean, that created a lot of apathy in and of itself, because you could be, you know, it takes a lot to run for office. You're a business owner. I'm a business owner. I'm not going to risk my business to do that.
Right.
You know, and so you, and especially I'm not going to do it if, hey, I could walk on water. I'm still going to lose 47-53. Yeah. No one's going to do that. You'd be right. Stupid. So on one side, you don't have the best and the brightest. And on the other side, it's like, you know, I could be.
Right. So these new maps that everybody keeps talking about, mm-hmm. are going to bring us better candidates.
Oh, they already have. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And we're going to elevate the voter turnout.
Oh yeah, look at the.
I want to see that, but okay.
It will. And Tammy Baldwin talked about that, because because she was on my show before Biden left, and I said, you know, what's crazy is the top of the ticket usually is the tide that lifts all ships, and we don't have that. I said that to her.
Totally.
And she said that in Wisconsin, the tide that's going to lift all ships is the new maps and the new districts. And we have people like Chris Alfheim, who's running for state senate, that wouldn't have done it before.
Okay. I want to get down to the assembly and I don't want to get the state, but first I want to talk about Congress.
Yeah.
The 8th Congressional District, which is what, 700,000 people, goes Fox Valley down here.
Up and those maps are the same.
They stay the same. But that is kind of competitive, right? We had Kagan for a little while, and then we had Ribble. And you know,
well, the maps did change between Kagan and Ribble.
They did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So what is the district? It leans
It leans red, yeah.
Okay. Three people ran for the Republican nomination.
Yes. Yep.
Why'd you laugh? I know you know all three of them. I
saw the worst political commercial I've ever seen in my life.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. There's
a big guy who's going to take on big problems.
I want to talk about the money. Sorry. Just wait. I want to get to the candidates first. Yeah. So we had three people run. And the guy that won, Mark.
Yeah, he's unknown.
No experience. Yeah,
no experience.
Which
is not a bad thing.
I was just going to say that. I mean, I don't think
experience is necessarily the greatest thing in the world. Right. I mean, I don't.
Yeah, votes, and you kind of start getting your coalition. Whereas somebody that there's some governors that just kind of came out of the private sector, and it's like, mm-hmm. boom. That's going to be interesting. I was just wondering what you thought of that race. Dr. Lowery just ran unopposed, right? There was no primary for the Democrat.
There was no primary, but I mean, a lot of that jockeying kind of takes place beforehand, where there were people that were interested, and you know, Lowery was obviously going to run. And so it was, you know, some of those discussions happened beforehand, because that's important to be able to keep the war chest, especially if you're not in a district that's entirely competitive for Democrats. It is important to, that's why Tommy Thompson lost, is because he had to blow all of his money trying to defeat Eric Hovde in the primary. So, I mean, these are common sense type things that it is, and it's in the weeds.
I don't agree with that at all, but go ahead.
Well, no, but I'm right, but that's okay. So
I don't think so. Primaries people work a little bit harder.
Primaries are good.
They do drain you. I agree financially. Like I've had plenty of primaries, but then you got to regroup and raise some more money.
But that's not the same thing. If you're in a district that is a red district, and you're a Democrat, primaries are not. That's not good. That's not going to do anything to help.
All right.
And you'll probably lose. But I think with it's true. That's not hyperbole.
I think primaries are okay.
Yeah.
But you don't.
I do. But if you're a strategist, you don't want it. I as a citizen, yes, primaries are
okay,
good.
That's okay. So yeah. That's all right. We agree. But, we actually agree.
Yeah, for sure. But then I think in the 8th Congressional District, what you saw was we did not have the person that necessarily was the best and the brightest, in my opinion, win that race. He won because at the top of his yard sign, it said Trump endorsed. And so, you know, we go with the Jim Jones method. It was people would vote for that guy because he had that thing on his yard sign versus someone who, you know, has good experience as a business owner, as a legislator, and as a military veteran, you know?
Yeah.
I
don't think you're alone in that thinking. But it is what it is. And now that we have the two candidates, and they're both going to be on my show, and I'm sure they're both going to be on yours, what do you think the issues are?
Well,
because I had one of them on. I'm like, hey, you're running for Congress. Yeah. And I said, you know, this show is Lean Local. And can I ask you just a little bit about the coal piles? And he's like, no. I don't know anything about them.
Sweet.
So I know that's not
that's
good.
Great.
So I need. What do you think the local? What do you think the issues are that are going to sway people? Because I think they're both nice people who are running.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I really do. I've met both of them, and I didn't know either of them very well. And in the last couple months, and it's like, you're both really nice people. I didn't talk any issues at all. What do you think the issues are going to drive the 8th Congressional District?
I think the issues that are going to drive the 8th Congressional District are going to be a lot of the issues at the top. I think it's going to be people talking about border security. Yeah. I think it's going to be people talking about common decency. We have someone who is an OBGYN. I think the issues are going to be a lot of trying to strip women of their rights. I think those are the big juicy issues that people are talking about on the nightly news. Those are going to be the issues. It's unfortunately, I don't think it's going to be, hey, are we going to get some federal funding to move the coal piles? I don't necessarily think, I think they should be. I don't think that's what's going to sway people one way or the other.
See, that would sway me.
Well, like, yeah, but you're not normal. Well, you were the mayor of Green Bay. So, I mean, I wish more people would think like you. I truly do, because you see an issue from a purple lens. You don't see an issue from a red versus blue.
Yeah.
I wish that were the case. Like, seriously, I wish that were the case.
All right. Well, if it's tied to the national, yeah, that's, to me, that's not as exciting. I got to be honest with you. Like, I mean, of course, I care about border security.
Yeah.
I care about the national debt.
As
I mean,
we all
that
should.
Stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, I do. Right. But I don't lose as much sleep over that as I do about what's going to happen in my backyard.
Right.
And in the old days where they would come and really just talk about your district. We're going to get you this. We're going to get you that. Or I'm going to help you do this. I'm going to help you do that. That's what I want to hear.
Yeah.
I don't even care if they're in Madison or in D.C. I want to know. And when they sit in that chair, Mark, I say to them, look, I want to talk about the local.
Yeah, which is, I think one of the cool things about the new maps is they go along some of those natural borders. Like, we have someone who, you know, will represent most of the city of Green Bay on the legislative side and on the Senate side. So, I mean, like, those issues are going to be paramount to those people.
Yeah.
You know, you talk to Ahmaud Rivera or, you know, other people that are running for assembly.
Right.
Hell yeah, we're going to want to talk about the coal piles because that's a big deal.
Right. And tell me, let's talk a little bit about when you ran for office 10 years ago or so and me 20 years ago, everybody's like, I thought it was difficult, but it was always a lot easier back then. I don't think politics is very easy
no matter when you run,
you know? I mean, you talk to
those spring elections suck, man. You know, you're knocking doors, it's dark.
It's cold.
It's cold.
People don't want to talk to you.
Oh, my God.
They get mad at you. It's like, hey, look, you think I want to be here?
Yeah.
You know? But anyway, that's the drill on that.
Yeah, yeah. And
but talk to me about what are the candidates telling you at the higher level? And I've talked to a lot of them at the local level, as do you. Just the campaigning. The prices, it's more expensive.
Green Bay is, I think, the fifth most expensive media market in the country. How goes Northeast Wisconsin, so goes Wisconsin. This is hyper, hyper polarized.
Ground zero.
Oh, my God.
It is.
Us and Eau Claire.
So they're spending a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not saying the mayor can sway it, but that can make a difference, some of the local stuff. If Brown County, or I shouldn't say Brown County, Brown County and Outagamie County, if that's of interest to the national politics, which it is.
Yeah, it is.
They're going to pour a lot of money into it.
Yep.
And they are now. And I do think that people who get at the partisan level are going to take advantage of that. Maybe they have to join the party in terms of the issues. And I wouldn't.
You know what I'm saying,
Mark? Like if I was running, I don't know that I would care about. I'm not going to say I don't care, but I just hope we talk about local issues, even though it's Congress and state.
Yeah.
And I don't think so.
No, I do. I think there are some issues, you know, like, so there are local issues that are national issues too.
That's true.
You know, like common decency, you know, that we talk about, and it's because you have people that are not really great actors trying to make it into a big deal,
No, go ahead. I want to ask you though, I'm going to talk a little bit about how crazy it is financially to run for office.
It's insane. Yeah.
Do you have any solutions? I mean, you're...
Oh, man. There's so many different...
Dollar per person.
That's wild. It. Yeah. I mean, I think in my county board, the most expensive one was like I don't know, like 15, 20 grand.
That's a lot.
Freaking county board seat. It's ridiculous.
That pays 11 or 9 or whatever you guys make.
Yeah, not in like, yeah, like 8,500.
Some of them are overpaid.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, but it's nuts. It's nuts. And
it, social media, I want your comments on that. At the high level where you work and at the low level where I work. I mean,
it's the most inexpensive advertising you can do. And you it can be so targeted. Yeah.
Isn't there a lot of BS that comes through social media versus at least it's a little bit screened if it comes
not
through?
Not so much since like Trump has his own social media thing. So I think a lot of the BS is, but no, but what I think is what's so dangerous about that is people can spew so much. They can spread inaccuracies. You can start an insurrection. You can tell people that you won an election that you lost by millions of votes. Social media is dangerous because you can lie to people blatantly.
I worry a little bit about social media causing voter suppression.
I agree with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what do you tell a voter that's like, look, I'm sick of it. I'm staying home. I'm out. Are you kidding? You're all crazy.
I would say it's crazy to stay out.
Okay.
100% crazy to stay out.
And how do you think you can get the best news or the best information about a candidate?
Talk to them.
I tell people that all the time. Go to their rally.
Yeah, 100%.
Hear what they're going to say. Talk to them directly. Some of these people, if you call them, they're going
to listen
to
what they're saying. Right? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Instead of listening, and you know, we all like family and friends and you got to do this and that, but all right. That's great advice. Hey, when we get back, I want to wrap up a little bit about what's going on here right locally in Brown County in the city of Green Bay. We're with Mark Becker. You're listening to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. We're going to be right back. Welcome back. We're going to be wrapping this up. It's Jim Schmidt with Lean Local, our special guest, Mark Becker. And Mark and I have been friends for some time through politics. And, you know, I've pretty much stayed the course as being a nonpartisan guy. You went to one party and then to another.
Joined the Democratic Party.
Really?
I've never joined the Democratic Party. No,
you were on like national TV talking.
Well, Ron Johnson's a terrible person. So, I mean, it was easy
You're kind of fueling the fire about this.
Hey, maybe that brings some listeners.
I think his issues, I think he's.
He has a lot of them. Yeah.
The health care. he ran on health care. That's why he first ran.
He sure did.
He did. And I think he talked about. Politics can change people.
Yes.
There's some people that we both know locally here.
Yes.
Nice guy, pretty good, you know, family. And then all of a sudden it's like,
who the hell are you?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. In 2 years.
Yeah. And so many things that Ron Johnson has said, you know, I'm only going to run 2 times because that's all. And then, it's like, okay, buddy. Yeah,
nobody else can do it.
And then he's
me.
Crazy. Well, but you had support and that's not the same thing.
Yeah. No, I was just talking about maybe some candidates feel that way. They're like, oh, there's really nobody. But I said I was going to run for 3 terms or 2 terms, but I can't. I can't do that to the community. It's like, yes, you can. So let me ask you this, and I want to, again, we're going to talk local now for the next few minutes, and I think your show is awesome. I want to talk about that eventually. But right now, term limits.
Yep.
You on board with that?
No.
Dude, what?
I think for president, yes. Executive, yes. I think we have term limits. I think they're elections. I think that if people feel good about being represented by someone, they should be able to be represented by that person. And if they stop representing the people, then they should be taken out. And I think
I ask every candidate who sits in that chair what their views are on term limits. The mayor of Menasha was in here, he was in here, but the candidates for mayor of Menasha. I believe in term limits. Institute them in Green Bay for city council, the mayor, and the judge. And The reason, and the council, you know, nobody wants to give up their job. I mean, people run for politics, right? They say for three things, right? The prestige, the power, the prestige, power, and I'm sure it's not the money.
no.
And they don't want to let that go. And sometimes you got to be forced out.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I just want to.
No, that's fine.
No, but you don't agree that I want to give you some numbers here because I'll change your mind.
All right.
The council's like, my constituency, they don't want term limits. They're just, that's what we have elections for. And no, mm-hmm. I've done my surveys. I've done my doors. And they said, we'll do an advisory referendum. Well, those don't mean anything, right? They just come back and they throw them in a can. So this was a binding referendum that we did. Finally, it took me years to get enough, six people to say, let's do a binding referendum. So once we did, it went out there. Mark, I'm not kidding you. The lowest support was like 82%.
Yeah.
Can you believe that? What's the last referendum you saw that was over 70?
Yeah. Yeah.
So people want it. So let's support it. This is crazy. We got people in there sitting in diapers making decisions for us, you know? There's we've got and it's both sides. Mm-hmm. Don't you think we need that? I mean, I'd like to get you on board at least.
I don't necessarily. I think at the executive level, yes. Because that gets into like the dictator territory.
Oh, totally. I agree with that. I agree with that.
But, you know, in terms of Congress and, you know, those types of things, I don't think I'm not a big term limits guy. I never have been. Even when I was, Republican, I didn't believe in that. Because I Reid Ribble in my opinion is like, he's the gold standard and he was someone that could reach anybody and everybody. And he did it for the right reasons. And he's brilliant. I would love to be represented by Reid Ribble for 40 years because he's someone that.
How do you know there's not some young kid out there, lady, that wants, look, 18 years, three terms in the Senate, six in Congress, 18 years. That's almost a generation.
Yeah.
That's long enough. And then the other thing I just want to say that you can bow out, you're out, and then you can come back in.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd like to get you on board because you have a pretty good voice.
Well, yeah. I mean, I would have to see what the proposal is, you know, but I
just told you.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I mean,
you'll think about it.
Yeah. Well, sure.
Give me that. Yeah. All right. Tell me locally here. Cause you were on the county board for what? Three terms.
Yeah.
Why out of those 26 seats, you know, the majority of them by far are unopposed.
Oh, it's sad.
It is.
You know, it's because, so much of this will, you know, jockeying for political whatever, you know, you see the headlines of national, but the stuff that happens in those boardrooms affect you way more than anything else. And so, you know, the power of incumbency is really big. I don't know, you know, the races, it sucks to do that in the wintertime. I don't know. It's just.
It's not an easy. You're right.
It's really hard.
Spring elections.
It's really hard.
Spring elections. That's. I mean, you said it. It's tough. But man, I don't like that. And there's some statistics
either.
That apathy and, you know, that can lead to some bad things. And not apathy. Being unopposed. You can start thinking like.
Totally,
you know,
agree.
You also need to become this little.
Yeah.
Too much influence and too much power, and you know.
Excuse me. Sorry.
Anyway, hey, look, we're going to be right. Thank you for coming in here.
This
I was really
great.
Looking forward to talking to you. You know the 30,000 foot level and the state, and I'm trying to get a little bit more into the local and communicating with the constituency.
No, it's important.
But,
it's but really
tell
important.
Me a little bit more. Your show is on.
Rational Revolution. We talk to a bunch of different people, a lot of high level state, local stuff, or state and national stuff.
You said the Mayor of Madison on, right?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Had the Mayor of Madison, Tammy Baldwin. We had Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. Charlie Sykes. We've had a lot
of
some big guests.
That's big time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
Steve Schmidt, we had from the Lincoln Project, founder of Lincoln Project. Oh, yeah.
He spoke at a couple of mayor's conferences.
He's a good dude. So, yeah.
He's a good dude.
Yeah.
Anything that you're like, wow, I didn't know that. I mean, talk to those people. Is there a common thread?
Common thread is that Donald Trump is an existential threat to the future of our democracy.
You should have started the music.
Hey.
All right. But we got an open mind. All right. Mark, thank you for joining us.
But there is hope. There's hope. There's hope.
There's hope for him?
No. Once he's gone, there's hope. Which is great.
People can change, Mark.
Yeah, he can't.
Okay. All right.
That's my opinion, not his.
I believe people. Look, thanks for joining us. This has been Lean Local Jim Schmidt. Again, Mark Becker, thank you for joining us. Make sure you tune in with his show, Rational Revolution. You've been listening to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. We'll see you next week. You're simply